Hello, this is Ramona Okumura, up there in the left corner. Thank you for letting me discuss this case from Seattle. Here I am wearing my face coverings as required by King County. Like many of you, I've been trying to learn new skills while staying home. One of them is ventriloquism. Maybe you can watch to see if I move my lips. Dr. Vergun and I were in Gaza a couple times over the past couple years. This is about one of the patients we met. She is a 17-plus-2-year-old female who we met through the first Gaza Amputee Summer Day Camp in August 2019. Because of a lack of a private setting, we were not able to do a complete clinical exam. She has a complex diagnosis unknown to us with congenital scoliosis, along with extreme laxity of her joints. We did not have access to any of her other medical history. She reports she had a spinal surgical complication at around age 3, which resulted in a left subtrochanteric hip disarticulation amputation. She presents with a very severe thoracolumbar scoliosis, bilateral hip joint deformity, significant laxity of her right knee and valgus, and hypermobile wrist joints such that her hands can touch her forearm in both flexion and extension without discomfort. She has a hip disarticulation prosthesis that was fit in the U.S. a couple years ago. She ambulates full-time in the community with bilateral forearm crutches. She reports only mild back pain when she is tired from walking. This film of her spine looks like it was probably taken weight-bearing with her prosthesis. Supine and bending films were requested but not taken. You can get some appreciation of the flexibility of her spine by watching the space between her right rib hump and her pelvis increase during swing phase of her right leg. Though I have limited practice with spinal orthotics, my first reaction to meeting this client was concern due to the severity of her untreated scoliosis for her vital capacity over her lifespan. You can see that even her right hip has some deformity. As you watch her ambulate, you can see what she does to propel her prosthesis. Her left ribs are on her pelvis, so traditional means of suspending hip disarticulation prostheses using waist screws are not available to her. A spinal orthotist can get suspension and pelvic stability using the soft tissue between the iliac crest and trochanters and wallet hollows. The patients I've seen fit with these kind of sockets really appreciate it. There seems to be a lot of lateral translation of the socket relative to her spine. It does not appear that she uses a lot of the lumbar, pelvic, anterior, and posterior tilt to ambulate, as is typical of most hip disarticulation gait. Because of the significant valgus in her knee, it is difficult to evaluate the optimal length of her prosthesis. I included this picture so you could get a sense of her height and weight. You can also look at the comparative size of her hands and feet. I circled her hands as an example of the mobility of her joints. This is out of my aquarium. There must be some diagnoses that Dr. Johnson was considering when he suggested these additional studies be performed. The results of this study were apparently normal in all areas evaluated. In our discussion, it was unclear if cardiac or circulatory complications might have caused the need for the hip disarticulation amputation. I include this report for the completeness of Dr. Johnson's suggestions. A consideration for doing any spinal surgery would be to evaluate how this might affect her prosthetic mobility. The terrain in Gaza is not suitable for wheelchair ambulation. I'm looking forward to discussion on treatment for a diagnosis, surgical risk, vital capacity and pain over her lifespan, and ability to function in Gaza. After seeing these videos of her rib shapes, which are proportionally larger than any of the scoliosis cases I've seen, I'm thinking she has a larger vital capacity than I first anticipated. However, I'm looking forward to hearing your input. Thank you.